The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
There we go. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone here on this great Resurrection Sunday. No, it's not Resurrection Sunday. I just thought I'd just see if you were paying attention. All right. No, that was last week. Today we're going to heaven.
Okay.
All right, so how many of you want to go to heaven? Let me see your hands. All right. How many of you are going to heaven? Let's see your hands. All right, good. It's even better. Oh, great. That's what the new series we're doing today. I'd like to welcome everyone who's watching us on Facebook and on YouTube. And if anything goes wrong today, I'll send you a letter of complaint to George Schmidt, our new camera operator. No, I'm just kidding. George is going to do a good job. And if he doesn't, I have somebody in the background who can take over. Oh, man, I'm excited about this new series, and I just know it's going to be a blessing to us. I've got myself pumped up. I thought about leaving and going to heaven. I got some, but I thought, well, no, I probably ought to come here and preach a sermon and then go to heaven. Amen. Let's stand and let a word of prayer, and we'll get started. My tomfoolery will be over. Father, how great it is when brethren gather together. Well, just said that iron sharpens iron, Lord, that being together with other Christians sharpens our edge, gets us more excited about you, Lord. We don't worship you in a vacuum by ourselves. We could, but you told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but so much the more as we see that final day approaching. So, Lord, we're gathered together here in Jesus' name. In this building, we gather together with those who are watching over electronic media. And Lord, whether it's a delayed broadcast or it's live right now, I ask you to bless them, Lord. And Father, for those who are listening on the radio, that they would be so touched by this service on the radio that it would just bless them and encourage them in a way that they just didn't expect. Father, we love you. Ask you to bless our worship team as they lead us in worship this morning. Let everything that's done in this house bring you honor and bring you glory. And this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And all the kids said, amen. All right, worship team, you're on.
In the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit. shall people sing. They will rise with you lifted on your wings, and the world will see that our God saves. Our God saves. There is hope in your name.
Thank you. so great when he reminds us that he's thrown all those things in the sea of forgetfulness. He doesn't remember any of that stuff in our past. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it's under the blood. Thank you that you see your blood when you look at us. You see Jesus. Thank you, Father. Washed in your blood.
Oh, how you talk with me. In your name,
who stands in the fire beside me. You roar like a lion, you lay.
That God would raise us up to be His voice piece in this world filled with darkness and evil and corruption. But yet, He chose us before the foundation of the world that we would be His children, we would be His mouthpiece on this earth to speak His word and bring His light into the darkness that exists everywhere else except in the house of the Lord. So let the Lord be praised from the morning to the night. Let him be praised in every moment of your life. For there is no other way except through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Miss Rose. Amen. I received that. That's a good word. Whew, hallelujah. It's good to see everyone here, and good to see Mary. Good to see you here. This is, you know, the resurrection is just so important to us. You know, we've just celebrated that, and it's been going in my mind, as I mentioned last week, I believe, that the resurrection is more than just an event. It's a promise. And the promise is that we'd be resurrected. You know, Paul. That's what Paul said. He said that if Christ isn't risen from the dead, we're not risen from the dead. And if we're not risen from the dead, we're still in our sins and there's no hope for us. But because he lives, we have this blessed hope. And we talk about heaven, kind of like the Dairy Queen. It's a place we go to get a blizzard or something. You know, I don't know. But it's, it's sort of an abstract idea. And through the years, I've talked to people about it. And, you know, I think the greatest imagery of heaven is clouds, angels, little cherubs, harps, and nothing to do. You know, I could go for that for probably 2 days at max. And then I'm ready to do something, all right? So heaven is a lot more than that. And the scriptures give us a lot of information. Some of it is not as detailed as we'd like, but the Holy Spirit seems to know more than we do. I would think we'd all agree on that. So we're going to spend the next several weeks talking about heaven and different aspects of it as best I can study it and deduce it. It is a controversial subject. In fact, I had one of my good friends, he's a fellow pastor in town, call me. He had seen my advertisement that goes out for this series, and he called me to make sure that I understood heaven. And I appreciated what he had to say, but I didn't agree with him. It just so happens. So there are a lot of different views about what heaven is, and we're going to hear heaven according to St. Angelo, that wonderful non-canonized saint of God. And we're going to start it off with a video that poor Jim, has looked at more videos this week trying to find something. I keep saying, no, no, no. And he says, no, no, no. And I say, no. And we finally found one that we thought might work well today. And the reason is, there's not a lot of videos about heaven. It's just not a, people just don't know enough about it. So Jim, if you're ready, we'll put that video up.
Your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who's doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Those boys were on the way. They had something in mind they were going towards. We didn't know, you know, as we watched the video, and I think that depicts the church. We know we're going, but and we know the way, but we're not real sure what it looks like, and they finally reached that place. What the video didn't show was that after the camera went off, all those boys got down to this skivvies and jumped in that water. I've been on camping trips with scouts before. Miss Pat?
I noticed one of the boys was wearing on his T-shirt the word ready.
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 I didn't see that. Yeah, very good observation, Miss Pat. Ready. Are you ready? Well, let's talk about this. Jim, if you get my overhead stuff ready for me, I'd appreciate it. Heaven. I'm going to give you, it's a series, so I'll give you a little introduction to the series, and then we'll get into the message of the particulars of today, but I need to set some things up for you. So, in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, everybody knows it, right? If you want to talk about heaven, you got to go to the beginning. It's the only way to do it. So, and I've got this from the Message because I just like the way it said it. We're all familiar with the more traditional translation, you know, in the beginning, God. This says, first thing, I kind of like that. God created the heavens, plural, and earth, all you see and all you don't see. Wow, what a passage of scripture. Let's pray. Father, we realize that without your divine inspiration, we're in a mess. But with your Holy Spirit teaching us what we need to know, we can study your word. It's good for us. It's profitable for us. It teaches us. It instructs us. So as we study your word this morning, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to each one of us individually, speak to all of us collectively, and let us know the truth about heaven as best we possibly can on this earth. We thank you, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. 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 The first thing God created, and I didn't realize this until I went into this study, the first thing God created was the heavens. Never dawned on me before. I mean, I just kind of put the heavens and the earth together as one clump. But it says, no, he created first heavens and earth. So it's a primary subject. There's a theological way of the first time you see something in the scriptures spoken of, that's the primary, and you should study that and you should know that, because anything else is going to be a reflection of, an explanation of, or some continuation of what you've first seen. So in the beginning, God, and I'm not going to go into that part of it, I am in some respects, but my focus is on heaven. So we can use some deductive reasoning. You remember when you're in school? I don't think they teach it anymore, deductive reasoning, how to figure things out. We can look at some facts, and deductive reason is, if the premise is true, then the conclusion must be true. And here's one of the famous things you might remember from school. They probably taught you this. They did one about fire engines. I like this one. It says, all dogs have ears. A golden retriever is a dog. Therefore, it has ears. You see that? You see how that works? So the premise is that God existed before the heavens came into existence. Now, the preface is that God created the heavens. So therefore, heavens and earth have been created from all eternity and had a beginning. They didn't exist for all eternity. The heavens and the earth had a beginning. All right? And God exists outside of that realm. You've heard me use this illustration. It's one I learned when I was in seminary. That God created time and he created place. And that we live within time and place. But God lives in another place called the eternal now. He's got no clocks, no grandfather, no grandmother clocks, no wristwatch, no Rolexes, no Cartiers. You know, he's got nothing to keep time because there is no time where he is. Everything is the eternal now with him. We kind of get a feel of that a little bit, that we can remember yesterday, we can look forward to tomorrow, but we really only have now. I mean, that's it. So this creation is a place. It is a place. And that's all that you and I know, is a place. And heavens, the heavens, or a place. All you ladies could probably answer this better than the men could. What do you do with a place? You put stuff in it. You fill it up, don't you?
That's right.
Yeah, my famous story that I like to tell is when I moved to Texas, everything I owned fit in the trunk of my car. When I came back with a wife, a daughter, and a U-Haul trailer filled with stuff, pulling cars, boats. We had all of this stuff that we put in that place, and we were moving it from that place to this place. So we pretty much understand what place is. But God exists in a place, if I can use that word. I start to run out of words real quick when I'm in the subject. He exists in a place that's beyond our comprehension. I mean, we can't even begin to figure out God. You know, that's why I kind of steered away from the first three words of that Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Believe me, there are volumes and volumes and volumes of books that are written about that. No explanation, no nothing. Just all we know, God, there's a beginning. And we know God did some creation. So the Bible, within the Bible, and some have said more, but there's at least three primary heavens that are spoken of in the Bible. The first heaven is the mid-air. It's the air. It's what, you know, we see the birds fly in it, you know, the clouds puff in it, and, you know, that's kind of the near heaven, if you will. The second heaven is what we commonly would call space. It's the place where the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxies, you know, all exist. And then the third heaven is the highest heaven. Excuse me. It's the dwelling place of believers. It's where Jesus went to when he left here. He went into heavens. And I'm going to go into that in some more detail in a minute. But in fact, in 2 Corinthians 12:2, it says, for Paul said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. And he said that he saw things that it wasn't lawful for a man to utter. I think if we would have put it in today's vernacular, he would say, man, I saw some stuff. I got no idea to explain to you what I saw. You know, it's just, there's no things to say that. You remember the a book from yesteryear called The Late Great Planet Earth? Yeah. And that was written by Hal Lindsey. And Hal Lindsey had a vivid imagination. And he took Revelation, and he was talking about the, you know, the dragons and the scorpions, and he related them as being helicopters. He said, you know, there were Black Hawk helicopters, you know, with rockets and spewing fire and all that. So, man, God's got a great imagination. I like that. I appreciate it. I don't know that it's true, but trying to put things that we can measure, something we can understand. We do that
quite a bit. In fact, next week, I'm not going to do it this week, next week, God willing, we're going to talk about heaven is like, and we're going to try to figure that out, right? We're going to talk about that. So during this series, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about what is heaven? Where is heaven? We just touched on that. Who goes to heaven? I don't know if this is true, but I think it is. I think somebody wrote a book or made a movie or something called All Dogs Go to Heaven. You know, so I don't know, but that was in the back of my mind when I thought about it. And as you've heard me say, I believe dogs many times have a much better chance of getting to heaven than a lot of people I know. So what is heaven like? We're going to talk about that next week. And why not everyone goes to heaven. And I think you might be surprised about some of the things I'll have to say about that. So we begin our series by defining heaven as our final destination. We're like the boys in the video. We're trucking along. And one day we'll get to see what we don't see right now. Remember that this passage up here says, all that you see and all that you don't see. There's a lot going on that we don't see. Can you imagine it? I think one of the best illustrations for that, excuse me, is you can't see what's happening, but that little camera that George is operating has got all kinds of emanations radiating from it and going into it. There are sound waves moving through this. There are things that's probably why we're all so goofy, because some of the things that men have created and put out into the atmosphere are, you know, permeating our bodies. Excuse me, what am I so scratchy about? I don't know. So at any rate, let's look at heaven as our, oops. There it is. Heaven, our final destination. You gotta love that picture. You gotta love that picture. It's Christ and his bride. I found that and I thought, wow, what a picture. You know, he's all excited. She's absolutely beautiful. That would be us. So heaven is our final destination. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3 through 7. I'm switching over. I usually use the NIV, New International Version. I'm moving over to the New American Standard. And the reason is the New American Standard is probably the best translation that's out there. I discovered that when I was in seminary. I'm digressing, but I'm doing it for a purpose. Whatever topic we studied, we had to use at least four different translations. We had to read a lot of commentaries to, you know, study the passage of Scripture. And it would always amaze me that of all the New American Standard was one that I used. I used the King James and I used the NIV. And there was some other one I used. I don't remember right now. But at any rate, in every situation, when I studied the different translations, read the commentaries, the New American Standard was always the closest to the original text, right? So that's why I chose it. It's a little more archaic in the wording. I like the new NIV because it's a little easier to read. Anyway, okay. You probably didn't need to know that, but I wanted you to know in case some of you were paying attention to it.
I understand.
Hmm? Okay, Miss Rose has been in Bible school. She knows. So among them, we too all formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So he said, you know, he had gone through a long litany before we get down to verse 3. About what the world looks like. And he said, we were the same way. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. So we were made alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the what?
Heavenly
places. There's those two words. Heavenly, heaven, and places. In Christ Jesus. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So we could probably spend a year on this passage, but we're not. The final destination of all believers in Christ Jesus is a place called heaven. Yes. Now, we can never speak about heaven without saying in Christ Jesus, because he prepared the way for us. He prepared the place for us. We only have access to this place called heaven in Christ Jesus. There's no other ways of getting there. It's like, if I mention Louisiana, that's a state, but in order to help you know where in Louisiana I'm speaking of, I talk about Slidell, Louisiana. So you could speak about heaven, but if you didn't speak about Jesus Christ, you wouldn't know which heaven I was talking about or where that place is. He is the heavens. He created the heavens. John, the first book, it says all things were created by him. All right? All things exist and consist in him. That's Jesus. All right? So he is the focal of everything in creation, including heaven and the heavens. All right? Got that? So we know several facts about heaven. These are facts. It's reserved for those who are saved. And we all understand what that word saved in. I talked to you about that the other day, Kathy. Saved is a word we bandy around. It means literally to be rescued from a dangerous place. If you're standing on the edge of a cliff or something and you're about to stumble into it, somebody grabs you and pulls you out of it, you've been saved. We were standing on the precipice of eternal destruction, and Jesus Christ saved us from that, all right? So only those who are in Christ Jesus, only those who are born again, only those who are saved get into heaven. There's no back door. There's no trick magic that you can use to get there. And this becomes disconcerting, especially in today's way of thinking. We say, well, what about people who believe in this and believe in that? You know, I don't have an answer for that. What about? All I know is there's only one way to get into heaven. And if you want to go to heaven, you're going to go through Jesus Christ. Right. Now, does God have another plan? If he did, he didn't write it down anywhere. So I don't know about it. And I wouldn't take a chance on another plan. You know? So we're going to stick with Jesus. So it's reserved for those. We know that they're reserved for those who are saved. We know this from this passage of Scripture. Who's there? Jesus is there. In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're seated, raised up with him, and seated with him. That is Jesus. So Jesus is there. That's what, you know where Jesus is? He's not here. If he was here, wow, would that be cool. His Spirit is here, and the Holy Spirit, but Jesus is not physically here. He's in heaven at this moment in time. In fact, the disciples saw him leave, and it's recorded, you know, that he rose up, and all the disciples going slack-jawed looking up, and the angel said, what are you doing here looking up? He's not here, he's gone, but he will return in the same manner that he left, all right? So we know that, so that's a fact. We know that we will be with him. As a matter of fact, we are with him. By grace you've been saved, and raised us, that's you and me, up with him, and seated us, present tense, with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So how can the scripture say that we're there when we all know we're right here in Slidell? Don't let me burst your spiritual bubble, but listen to me for a minute. Where is God? I already told you. He's in a place called the eternal now. He's not in time and space. He's bigger. He created it, so he has to be outside of it. You follow that? Now, he could visit here, but he's bigger than time and place as we know it. And he's in a place with no time. We live in time. And we look at things in a very linear fashion. Linear being a straight line, all right? So we look at things moving along at a certain meter to get someplace. So we're living our life, and we say, oops, I just died. Now I'm in heaven, all right? From God's perspective, you're already there. Because he's not waiting on time to end. He created time, and he sees the beginning. Jesus defined himself, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. So for him, time doesn't exist like it does for us. Don't get a headache, okay? I'm not trying to get a headache for you, but I'm trying to help you understand the scripture because it says that, and somebody would say to you, well, you're not in heaven. Well, according to, we're not, when it's all said and done and we all get to heaven and we see it all, then you can say, gee, that one-on-one preacher was right. Or you might find out I'm wrong, but I don't think so. Okay. We know this for a fact. We will be with him. Yes. It says that, all right? Yes. So we know where he is, and we know we're going to be where he is. And this is interesting. It's a show place. I never kind of thought of it. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So it's a show place. God's get kind of proud of you. You don't think of yourself that way. You think of yourself, you know, even Paul didn't get himself. He said he was the chiefest of sinners. And I hear people used to preach about, oh, what a worm am I? Well, you can think that way if you want, but God doesn't think that way. He thinks of you as, let me rephrase that. He sees you in his Son, Christ, because we are in Christ Jesus. So when he sees you, he sees the glory of his own Son. You don't think of yourself that way, but God sees you that way. Okay. That's just the introduction. Heaven will be populated. John 14:1, we just had that passage of scripture, but let's go over it again. Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Those are declarative statements, by the way. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I think the King James says there are many mansions. That's not the best. They were trying to say it's bigger than the house on 6th Street, you know. It's the mansion. It's where the kings live. It's where royalty exists. But it's really dwelling places is really the correct translation of it. If it were not so, I would have told you. I love that. If it were not so, Jesus said, hey guys, it wasn't so, I'd tell you about it. So, for I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, notice that word place keeps showing up for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And he says, and you know the way where I'm going. And Thomas was there and said, excuse me? We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. He said, sure you do. I have the way, the truth, and life. All right? So that, I'm not going to preach on it this morning. Jesus was emphatic as he could be, in this conversation with his disciples and vicariously with you and me. He's trying to tell us something. Number one thing he says, don't be afraid. I would venture a guess, if I was to give you a test this morning, and I asked you on that question, are you afraid of going to heaven? You would say, no. But if I asked you if you wanted to go right now, you probably would hesitate. And the reason I know that's true, because every time one of you gets sick or something hurts, you take a pill or you go to a doctor or you call for the EMTs or something else. I mean, if you were ready to go and you weren't afraid of it, you'd say, beam me up, Scotty. Here I come, you know. So we have a reservations. I was looking for the right word. We have reservations. And I don't mean like you got a reservation, but we have reservations about whether we want to go right now. I don't want to go right now. I don't. I know it's there, And I know I'm destined to be there, but I'm not in a hurry to leave. I kind of like this place, as crummy as it is. You got a lot of nice things that I like about this world. I like my wife. I like my children. I like my grandchildren. You know, I like my church. I like the people I know. So there's a lot of things that I don't want to leave. Okay? So, and there's a, it's difficult for us to say fearing heaven, but we do have some trepidation about it, some reservations about it, some, I'm going to heaven. I want to go to heaven, and I'm glad I'm going to heaven, but please, God, not today. Give me a couple of more hours or something. So, but he says, don't be afraid, because we tend to be afraid of someplace we've never been before. There's always a little bit of anxiety about going someplace you haven't been before. I've traveled quite a bit in my life, in mostly the United States, because I'm an American. I don't want to leave here. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Canada. But that's about the furthest I've gotten away from the USA. I'd say the Virgin Islands, but I think they belong to us, so it's kind of the same thing. But at any rate, you know, there's anxiety about the trip. It's anxiety about the method that we're using to get someplace. So there's a natural fear about things that we don't really know. So the more we know about heaven, we will diminish that fear. Yes. And Jesus is telling us, don't be afraid. Don't let your heart be troubled, all right, about this thing. We overcome the anxiety of dying and the fear of the unknown by two things. Believe in God and believe in Jesus. You know, if you don't believe in God and you don't believe in Jesus, be afraid. Be very afraid. Because what awaits you when you step through life's door, or death's door, however you want to call it, is not going to be a happy day. All right? But if you believe, it's okay. You don't need to be afraid. It's going to be a fun thing. You know, one of the things that happened, and a lot of the stuff I've been reading that refers to what they call near-death experiences, NDEs. You love the alphabet step, iPad, I know that. An NDE, a near-death experience. Well, I've had one, and I didn't see Jesus, you know. I don't remember seeing a light or anything like that, but it seemed very natural to die. It did. It just didn't seem like, oh my God, I'm going to die. Don't let this happen to me now. I'm not here. Not in this boat. None of that. It just seemed a natural thing to do. And some of you have had near-death experiences. Could give you a version of what happened. I know that Robert has had that, and he's talked about that and testified in his church about it. So why we don't need to be afraid is because there's a place prepared for us. I used to travel with my mother and dad. They were vacationers. They loved to jump in a car and go someplace. Drove me crazy because I didn't know where we were going to spend the night. My dad would just stop at some place, motel, used to have a lot of motels, and we'd go in there. I hated that because I my personality is such as I like to know where I'm going, I like to know what's there. And I think Jesus understood that about me, at least. He said, you know, I'm going to prepare this place for you. So the place is being prepared for us. Now, it's not just a mansion, and it's not just a house. It's a place designed for you. Pat and I tried to commit suicide together about, 15 years ago now? Yeah. We built a house. That is suicidal. I would never recommend building a house to anybody. But we had, for some reason, of all the houses that were available for sale in Slidell, we didn't think it was just what we wanted. So we were going to build something. Well, we almost built a Looney Tune for him for both of us to go in. It was suicidal. It was murderous. I told the guy who was building it, good friend, you know Bruce Olivier?
Yes.
I told Bruce, if you wasn't such a good friend of mine, I'd kill you. You know? You know, he was building a... So, you know, it's... But God is preparing a place for us that's going to be just what we want and just what we need and just where we're going to walk in and say, wow! I mean, it's that kind of a place, and it's going to be a place where we're going to be very comfortable. It's a place that is just as normal and comfortable to you as it is for you to breathe. How many of you have stopped breathing? Harold? Are you breathing? Is he okay? Huh? No, don't wake him up. Just want to make sure you're breathing. Don't you love it when a pastor picks on people just by name? It's horrible. I shouldn't do that. But at any rate, it's a safe place. It's created to be a safe place for us. When I was in the aerospace industry, and we were putting men into space and putting them on the moon, we had to do two things. We had to build and design space suits because their bodies wouldn't last in space. And we had to make sure that nothing happened to them. We knew that if a small meteorite, you know, like a grain of sand, hit their suit and burst it, they'd probably die from it because the oxygen that's built in the suit that preserves them, they would die from it. We had to be able to withstand radiation. Because you're in space and they do these spacewalks exposed to radiation. In fact, we don't know the long-term effects of that on people who go into space. We had to build a space capsule for them. We didn't call it a ship, we called it a space capsule. And we put them in it. If you haven't done it, go to Houston, I don't think there's any here, and go see the Gemini space capsule, the Mercury space capsule, that was first. Mercury was only one man in it. The Gemini, you could put two people in it, and the Apollo, you could put three people in. They better be clean and not smelly, because you're going to be really, really close. The Gemini, which was, you know, everybody was talking about it when they were building, man, they're going to have so much room. You've flown coach on a plane, you know how you feel like this, especially when some enormous people sit on either side of you, and you're in the middle seat, that's what it's like. But we designed it for them to survive in space. Yes. The Apollo was much bigger. You've seen pictures of that, the astronauts moving around in it. And now we have the space station where there's a lot of room. There's a lot of room in the shuttle. I'm saying all that to say this place is going to be designed for you to protect you and to keep you safe for all eternity. And it is a place. It is created, designed, created, built by God in His Word. Now, how's he doing it? I thought it was interesting. Somebody this morning, I think it was David Jeremiah, said something about God preparing a place for us. He said, he doesn't have hammer and nails and wood in building something, you know? It's not that kind of a building. It's a preparing of. And we don't have a whole lot of details about that, but I know that it's designed just for us. Heaven is tailor-made for us to spend eternity there. Now, Jesus gives us an assurance. He said, if this were not so, I would have told you. So we can trust Jesus. He never lied. We can trust him. And because he said, if this wasn't so. So you can take assurance in that. You've raised kids. Most of you have raised kids. You know that kids are going to lie to you. And they'll lie with the sweetest faces. But you know they're lying. Especially when you catch them red-handed. And then they said, they'll swear that they didn't do it. I didn't do it. How could you say you didn't do it? There it is in your hand. Oh, what is that in my hand? You know, can't trust kids, but you can trust God. He never lies, he never deceives, and he never tells you something that's not true. Okay? So you can take assurance from that. We can also take assurance that Jesus said that he will come eventually, and I'm not going to go through the whole eschatology of the end times, but he is going to return at the resurrection of the dead and bring us with him. When we leave here, we will have an escort. I haven't checked this out, all right? So I'm going to tell you something that I'm not sure of. But in the book of Luke, it says, so I was told, that angels come and escort us to heaven. I don't know that that's true, but I've heard it before. Again, Dr. Jeremiah was trying to preach my sermon this morning, and I was listening to it, and he talked about that, about angels escorting us to heaven. He said it's in the book of Luke. I trust Dr. Jeremiah, but I'm going to look it up today and make sure that I've got that right. Okay. So, Paul, y'all with me?
Yes.
So Jesus will, all of this culminates in this. This is the whole point of heaven. That where I am, there you may be also. That's it. You want to know what heaven's about, what earth is about? You want to know what the crucifixion is about? You want to know what the resurrection is about? You want to know what all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament is about? You want to know what, you know, getting a new body's all about? You want to know what heaven's all about? It's about one thing. God wants to be with you.
Amen.
That's it.
Thank you, Jesus.
The rest of this stuff is just the methodology, the information about what God wants to do. It's perfectly seen at the cross. You remember the thieves. One guy is ranting and raving. The other guy, all he says was, would you remember me? And Jesus utters these words to him, but he's actually said it to all of us.
Yes.
This day, you will be where? With me in paradise. This day. So that's been God's motivation all along. Somebody might say, well, why would God want to do that? Well, I don't know. I have no idea. If I was God in the eternal now someplace, I don't know that I would create this place called Earth. I certainly wouldn't create some of the people in it. You know, maybe a couple of, you know, cute little animals. I might like some fuzzy that don't bite, you know. But I don't know why. The scriptures tell us, but I don't get it. He says he does it because he loves us.
Amen. That's right.
That's a little too big for me. I don't know about you. I mean, I know it, and I've experienced it, and I see God doing things that show that he loves me day by day, but I don't know why he did it, other than that he loves me. And he wants to be with us. And I'm willing to go along with that now that I'm here. How about you?
Yes.
I think that's a good thing to do. All right. By the way, you see this in the... They say that the first six chapters of the book of Genesis, you will find the principles of everything in the rest of the New Testament and the Old Testament. And you will find this there because when Adam and Eve ate of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what do you hear God doing? Adam, where are you? Why did he do that? He wanted to be with you. Okay? All right, let's move on. Heaven is God's kingdom. Matthew 19:14. But Jesus said, let the children alone. Remember, Jesus was talking to the kids and playing ball or whatever he was doing. I'm not sure. And he said, do not hinder them from coming to me. They said, get the kids off to the side. You know, we want to see a miracle. We want to see something really big. Get those kids out of here. And he said, do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. The kingdom of heaven. Heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, eternal life, interchangeable terms to describe what we're calling heaven, okay? They're used interchangeably. The scriptures do it, the writers do it, and we do it, all right? So now I know for some of you theologians who are watching me right now or listening to me said, oh, well, in Hebrew and Greek, those words have different meanings. I know all that. I'm just telling you that we use words in different ways to describe the same thing. We do it all the time. We do it in our own language, all right? So in this particular case, the kingdom of heaven is place where we are designed and destined to live. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these kids. Why these kids? What do they know that we adults don't know? Children are innocent. even though they lie, at 2 and 3 and 4 years old, they're innocent. When you are saved, follow me now. When you're saved, you have innocence restored. You're no longer guilty. God doesn't see sins forgiven. He sees you in Christ as innocent. Jesus was innocent of any sin. And so are you, innocent of sin. Just as if you had never committed any sin. There was a book that I read when I was in seminary, and it was called The Loss of Innocence. If you go to seminary, all the books are that big. That's the small ones. The other ones are that big. In this book, I read it several times, not because I enjoyed it, because I didn't understand it. But I'm going to give you the premise of the book. That Adam and Eve were innocent until they lost their innocence by eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me put it to you in today's terms. They were fat, dumb, and happy. They had no clue. They didn't know what evil was. They didn't know what good was. What did they know? They knew God. And they knew each other. That's all that they knew. And neither one of them ever sinned. Eve never said to Adam, pick up those leaves. I told you not to leave those leaves here in the garden. Never did that happen. The words, I'm sorry, didn't exist in their vocabulary. There was nothing to be sorry. Sorry about what? Well, you did something wrong. Wrong? What's wrong? But when they listened to the serpent, they listened to evil, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what happened? They knew. They knew what God didn't want them to know. They carried that for the rest of their lives on this earth. You and I carry that every day of our lives. The knowledge of good and evil. We know what good is and we know what evil is. We've done both. But in Christ, we are moved back to the state that Adam and Eve were in before they ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. As far as God's perspective of ourselves. Now, our minds have difficulty understanding that. Because we always remember how rotten we are. And we remember it because people like to hear how rotten we are. We like to hear our testimony. Well, you know, before I came to Jesus, I killed 3 people. You know, I robbed 40 banks. You know, I was running with women and men and, you know, stealing and cussing. And boy, everybody said, yeah. And then at the end they say, and I got saved and changed. Well, that's the wrong way to give you testimony. Well, you got to say, oh, it's a sorry mess. And let me tell you what God did to me and when he changed me. So we change in Christ. And as far as God is concerned, we have never sinned. We are back with the same innocence that they had in the garden. Why do you think he said, let the children alone, do not hit? For the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. If you want to get into the kingdom of heaven, you have to be as innocent as those children. How do you get to be as innocent as those children? You find that innocence in Christ Jesus. He was the innocent Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the earth. Where? Before the foundation of the earth, he was slain for you and I, that we might be with him with the innocence of children. I think the first thing we're going to do when we hit heaven's portals, and we're going to skip and jump and run and play rope like kids do. It's going to be laughter and giggling and fun. Remember when you were a kid, everything was fun? I love to watch children. When I used to live down on Broadmoor Street, when I would drive out of my subdivision, there's a little school for kids. And they let the kids out in the playground that are all the same size and same age together. And they'll usually have 15, 20 of them out there at a time. And they were all little, and they were all running and having so much fun. And I always enjoy driving past that just to see the kids having fun. And that's what God has in store for us. A place where it's fun, it's laughter, it's joy. There's no, oh, Miss Rose, I'm sorry I knocked your cane down. There'll be no I'm sorry in heaven. She won't ever cane. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that. Paradise Lost is found in Jesus, and we become, and to show you why I'm saying this, I don't make this up. What does the scriptures call us? The children of God. He didn't say the adults of God. He said the children of God. That's who we are. So that's how this passage of scripture fits in to the heavenly realm. The slate is not wiped clean for you in Christ. Slates keep score. You got a score where you put down the Santa Claus list, naughty and nice. There's no slate for a believer. It's not wiped clean, it's disappeared. Yes. One of the things that love is, go read in chapter 13, 1 Corinthians, one of the things that love is, love keeps no score of wrongs. And God is love. God does not keep score of your mess ups. And we've all done it. I mean, you know, if Jesus walked in the door right now, I'd like to see that. If he walked in the door right now and we mentioned something and said, we'd fall down, oh, forgive me, Lord, I'm such a sorry so-and-so. I said, excuse me? What's your problem? Why are you doing that? Well, I'm so sorry. Why are you sorry just because I'm here? Remember, that's over with. There's nothing to be sorry about. There's no reason for remorse about things. They are done and over with at Calvary's tree. You've been born anew in Christ Jesus, and that's over. You're destined for heaven. You have a heaven suit. And when you see the one that I've got prepared for you on Resurrection Day, you're going to love it. It is really cool. No pains, no prosthesis, nothing. It's going to be great. So, heaven is a total package. It's forgiveness, new body, designed for eternity. You get it all. I was talking to somebody recently, and I don't remember who it was, talking about... It doesn't matter. You know, in heaven, that some people are going to be better off than other people. There ain't no better off in heaven. It's the saints of God in heaven. Now, I know, and I've got some theological reasons why I don't talk about this very much, and I don't know that I got it figured out, but I'm going to mention it. Because somebody said, well, we have treasures in heaven. And you know, we're going to gain treasures in heaven. The treasure of heaven is me being there. That's enough. You know, do I need a, you know, when we say, well, I'm going to have a little farmhouse and others, Billy Graham's going to have a mansion. That is our way of trying to figure something out using a carnal mind that's been demented by sin. It's not God's economy of things. I promise you, when you get to heaven, you won't be worrying about what somebody else has and you don't have. Are there treasures in heaven?
Yes.
As best I can tell, if you had one, you'd give it away. It says we cast our crowns before him. What would you do with a diamond ring in heaven? Show it off? I mean, when the walls are made of diamonds? Come on, folks. I mean, what could be in the treasure chest that you want? What would you want to bring from this earth? You know, it's not what our mind thinks it is. It's bigger and better than that. All right. This is just the first sermon. We got other sermons to go. So if you don't get it all today, you'll get it later. Seeing God. This will take place in heaven. You'll see it. It said, we will know him even as we're known. In that same way, we will see God. Now, for the theologians, we'll say, well, sinful man can't look on God. Well, that may be true for sinful man. You know, God can't look on sinful man. But that isn't true for you and me. Those of us who are born again. I mean, it's going to be the... Remember the prodigal son?
Yes.
He shows up. We got a picture of him. Well, it's not a picture. We have an artist's rendition of him on the back wall. And he runs in. He said, he's rehearsed this thing. You know, I've been with 36 girls. I blew all the money, you know, out of, you know, the ring you gave me, I hocked it, you know. He's got all this in his mind. And he shows up. And what do we discover? His father, who he's really harmed, he really has. I mean, it's an insult to do what that boy did. What's the father been doing? Looking for him. And what did the father do? Run to him. And what did the father do? Embrace him. And you can see the boy, in my mind's eye, you know, being hugged by the old man, you know, kind of lifted off the ground, his feet dangling, and he doesn't have any slippers and shoes or sandals, and trying to say, but dad. And dad said, kill the fatted calf, let's have a party. That which is lost has been found. My son is home. That's the welcome that you get. That's the welcome you have. So lift your vision of yourself up to the level as much as you can of the way God sees you and the way God cares about you and the way God loves you. If you do, you'll live a different life. We will know, even as we're known, not from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That will be non-existent. There is no tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the heavenly realm where we're going.
Yeah.
It won't be there. There'll be no temptation to eat from it. It won't be there. What will be there? Everybody tell me. The
tree of life.
Yes. It's going to be by the what? The river of life. There's going to be life everywhere.
Yes.
That's what awaits us. And it says that we can eat of the tree of life freely. It produces fruit in its season. Are there going to be trees that we can eat of? I have no idea. But it's an imagery and a metaphor, an idea that you can have to know that it's going to be good. It's going to be great. I think there'll be things to eat. And this is just me, all right? I think there'll be fried fish. Jesus seemed to like fried fish. You know? Now, Danny, that's a problem for you. But for many people, fried fish in heaven is going to mean a lot. And you won't get indigestion. You won't have any bones in it. The bones will disappear. You know, I don't know. I'm just, you know, trying to give you a picture of what we know and what we don't know. But it's not going to be what you think it is. It's going to be better than you think it is. Remember humpop Horatio?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
It's hyper grace. It's much more. It means it's something that can't be measured, and it's something that can't be compared. We think in time, and we think in quantities. You know, where is it? Last week, who won no jelly bean thing, by the way? I didn't win it. How many jelly beans were in there? How many jelly beans were in that jar?
180.
You don't know?
180.
180? Man, I thought there was more than that in there. Man, so I didn't win it. So at any rate, but we like to quantify things. We can say, well, heaven's got 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles, a big city, four square. That's imagery for us. Don't be disappointed if you don't see a giant building. Tell you the truth, I don't want to live in a big building with all those people. I'm just being honest with you. I don't like apartment houses. You know, they're too crowded. I lived in them. They're too crowded. So, I'm not a heretic, folks. I'm just trying to tell you a lot of this stuff is imagery. That's trying to tell us something that is enormous. It's ginormous. That's the word he used today. It's big, and it's lavish, and it's rich, and it's perfect. And everyone there is going to be perfect. And that's what's being prepared for us right now.
Yes.
We'll eat of the tree of life and we'll that eternal life. We don't need to eat it to live. It's trying to tell us that it's what we do. I don't have to tell you to breathe. You do it because it's a natural thing to do. In the heavenly realm, in eternity, when we all get to heaven, to use that word, when we all get to heaven, joy and happiness and the sense of well-being will be just as natural for you as breathing is right here.
Amen.
You won't have to think about it. Oh, you're not going to wake up one morning in heaven and say, oh, I don't feel too good today.
No.
There won't be any such thing. It'll be euphoria all the time. As soon as you get tired of euphoria all the time, God will probably think of something else for you to do. All right. So, I'm going to use two words that I use a lot, but I think you'll understand. We talk about law and we talk about grace. Law is do, don't, you know, that kind of thing. Grace is, wow, I didn't do anything to earn that. This world is law.
Yes.
Heaven is pure grace. There's no law telling us. There'll be no Ten Commandments hanging on the wall saying, don't do this in heaven. The only thing that ever hung on the wall is Jesus Christ. He hung on a tree for us so that we wouldn't have to do that. We wouldn't have to follow that. We wouldn't have to go through that. So, I'm going to hold up here. I got further than I thought. I guess y'all were paying attention, I guess. And I want to close with a question for everybody, those of you watching, those in this room. Do you know the way?
Yes.
Jesus said you would know the way. The question is, do you know the way? Do you know how to? Are you 100,000,000,000% positive that if Jesus returns right now, if a 747 crashes into this building, if your heart gives out, I've been in this building talking to people right here on three occasions on a Sunday morning who were dead on Monday. They all had assured me that they would be, just like you, they're wagging their heads, yes, that they knew they would be in heaven. I'm sure that they're in heaven because I'm talking, you don't get to hang around me without me finding out and asking you that question. So at least you got to deal with it. You won't be able to get up to St. Peter and say, oh, gee, nobody ever asked me that question. You know, if you've been around here, you'll find, oh, well, St. Angelo asked me.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll say, St. Angelo? I don't remember him. No, that's not true. Seriously, do you know the way? Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
And it's not by you doing things to please him. It's not by you keeping all of the rules. It's about you believing in him. We read earlier, believe in God, believe also in me. That's what we do. We're believers or we're unbelievers. Now, I know that rubs against the fur of a lot of teaching that you've gotten through churches through the years. Churches tend to be very legalistic, like to lay out a bunch of rules. I belong to a church that it just drove me crazy. They had little cards you had to fill out to get in, and it asked you all the things if you did these things. Do you smoke? Do you drink? Do you tithe? And if you didn't do any of those things, man, you didn't get in. That's not what heaven is. That's what somebody made up when they created a building and called it a church. Entrance is through faith in Christ and Christ alone. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven. I don't know about you, but I believe I'm going to heaven. If I don't get to heaven, I'll be mad as hell. Excuse me for using that language. Because I'm trusting in Jesus. That's the only way to get there. That's what my buddy Bob Riles told me when I was talking to him on his deathbed. And I asked him just to make sure he was sure. I was sure. I knew he was sure, but I wanted to say it together with him one last time. He said, if Jesus can't get me there, I'm not going to make it. But he knew that Jesus would get him there, and I believe he's there today. So let's all stand, and where's the... going to dismiss, but we're really not going to dismiss. I'm just going to let you stand and stretch your legs because we're going to have communion this morning. We dispensed with that last week because of it being Resurrection Sunday, but we're going to take some time and have communion. So we're going to sign off. George, you know how to sign us off? Red button to the right, and it should go bye-bye. Ah, good. George is our new computer